Inside the Studio, episode 15. Hello and welcome to Inside the Studio. Inside the Studio is a podcast dedicated to podcasting and internet broadcasting, both audio and video. On today's show, we're going to be talking about monitoring your podcast. Hello, you're very welcome to Inside the Studio. I am your host, Michael McAndrew. This is episode 15 today, recorded on the 12th of May, 2013. You're very welcome to the show. And I'm back. I didn't record an episode this week. And you know what? At the end of the show, if you want to find out why, I will explain at the end of the show if you want to stick around, but we might as well get right into the topic of today, which is monitoring your podcast. Now, I'm going to specifically talk mostly about audio today. I might get into a little bit of monitoring a video podcast, but mostly it's going to be talking about audio monitoring because you want to make sure that your audio is good. And so you need to be able to monitor. You might notice that I'm actually wearing earphone or headphones. So, you know, it's very important to monitor your podcast, monitor your own voice, even if you don't like hearing your own voice. And it's also very important if you have co-hosts or guests on the show that you're monitoring their audio as well to make sure that all those levels are correct. And there's a number of different methods of monitoring your audio. The first method is probably one of the most obvious, and it's obviously using your ears, of course, listening to the audio that's coming back. And you could use speakers for this, speakers and monitors. You could use a set of computer speakers and plug them into your mixer, your audio mixer, if you wanted to do things that way. And or you could plug those computer speakers into, if you have a USB microphone, and that USB microphone allows you to monitor your audio, you could plug your computer speakers in there. So there's a number of different ways that you can monitor your audio using speakers. Now, there's pros and cons to using computer speakers. The pros are obviously you don't have to use headphones. If you're doing a video podcast, you might want to be using these big headphones. They're also quite cheap. And the cons to them are that the sound is not so good. And you also get feedback. So let me explain what feedback is. If you have a microphone and you're playing speakers to monitor yourself, that audio from the speakers is coming to you, but if the microphone is close to you, it will also be picking up what the speakers are sending out. And then your microphone will be picking that up. And what will happen is it'll go in a loop. So what will happen is the microphone output goes into the mixer goes out to the speakers bring out the audio goes back into the microphone, back into the mixer, back out through the speakers, and it's in a loop. And you get this kind of a high-pitched kind of a sound, and in a podcast, you definitely do not want any feedback. So they're the kind of downside to using computer speakers or any speakers for that matter. You could also use professional monitors though. So if you have had any experience with producing music, you would know that the majority of people who produce music use professional monitors. Two speakers, and those two speakers are facing you. They're pointing towards you. One will be on the left, one will be on the right, and they'd both be facing you. And basically, they give a very, very detailed and very, very accurate sound, but they can cost a lot of money. The sound is absolutely incredible. With the pros of professional monitors, the sound is the best that you can get. Very, very detailed and accurate. And that's very, very good for monitoring your podcast, because you want to be able to make sure that you can hear any imperfection in your sound. You want to be able to identify that and kink it and get it out. If you're using professional monitors and your podcast sounds good on them, your audio sounds good in them, your audio will sound good on anything, right? So professional monitors sound wise are absolutely fantastic. They're really detailed and really accurate. The cons, however, are they are extremely expensive. They could, for a good set of monitors, you could be paying $500 to $1,000. They're very expensive. Again, you also have that feedback issue. You do have feedback issue. There is a way to place the speakers and also place your microphone to try and get away with it. And also, if your speakers are down, if their volume are down lower, if the volume is down lower on your monitors, you can get away with it. But there is that risk of feedback, or at least there's a little bit more of a risk of feedback than using headphones. And also the size of these things. These monitors can be very, very large and they can take up a lot of space. So if you don't have a lot of space on your desk for a big set of monitors, you can also get external stands that go on the edges of your desk. But, they do take up a lot of space. So they definitely do take up a lot of space. So in terms of speakers and monitors for your podcast, I wouldn't recommend them. I wouldn't really recommend them. And that's because if you have a small budget, you wouldn't be able to afford very high quality speakers. They wouldn't be able to give you a very accurate sound, very detailed sound. And also, no matter what speakers you're going to use or whatever speakers you're using, you probably will run into some kind of feedback issues where you have to bring down the volume of your speakers. And that's not very ideal, because it's not very ideal because you want to crank up the volume on your speakers so that you can get all the detail and try and hear exactly what that sound is like coming from your microphone or whatever. So they're not ideal for doing a podcast. However, they are ideal. Professional monitors are like the best if you're doing post-production or music production. But in terms of your podcast, if we're just talking about your podcast here, they're fantastic for post-production because you can hear all the detail and they are very, very accurate. So professional monitors would be very, very good for post-production. But in terms of real-time monitoring, they're not very good. And computer speakers are not, they're not very good sounding. And that's because of their price as well. They're very, very reasonably priced. So I'm going to move on to talk about headphones now. Headphones are probably the most popular way of monitoring your audio. There are so many different types of headphones. You've got, starting off, we're going to talk about earphones. So these go inside in your ear. And I do have a set in my, these are the Apple EarPods. Now, I've been using these Apple EarPods for, I would say, 8 or 9 months since I got my iPhone 5. I've been using them as my main earphones, and I do have a half an hour commute to school every day. So I use my EarPods for listening to music. You know, they are much better than the old Apple EarBuds. They've got a lot of bass. They've got a lot of bass end response. I'm not a big fan of earphones with bass end response, but they're, you know, this is an example of earphones. Let me just put these things on. Now, these are earphones that they don't go into your ear fully, so they don't actually block out a lot of the, they don't block out a lot of the sound. You can still hear yourself talking. You can still hear people talking around you. So if you're, for your commute, for example, on a really busy bus that's very loud, these wouldn't do a very good job. Yeah, these ear pods would not really do the best job there. But they're actually quite comfortable. They're much more comfortable than the old Apple earbuds. Another set that I use are the House of Marley Smile Jamaica headphones. Now, these are Bob Marley branded earphones. But I got them in a music shop for €12 or something like that. Very, very reasonable price. They've gone up in price since they were on a sale. So I decided to get two pairs of them. One was a gift and then the other I used myself. They're very comfortable. They're the ones that have different earbuds. So you can have a large, medium or small size of earbuds. They go right into your ear, completely block out all of the sound around you. They kind of seal your ear in. And they also have quite a good bass response when you put them in your ear tightly. Because they actually use the bone marrow around your ear to kind of amplify that sound and get that bass response going. They sound, in my opinion, much nicer than the ear pods. Even though the ear pods are like $20 or something, the House of Marley ones I got for €12. And they're really, really nice. Now, I don't have them with me now. The only thing is they look a little bit funny on you if you're wearing them during a podcast, but they really do a very, very good job. So the pros of using earphones are they're very cheap. These $20, if you have an iPhone 5, you've already gotten these ear pods. They come with your iPhone 5, that's where I got my set of ear pods. The House of Marley again are €12. You can get them on that's what I got them. You can get them on Amazon for £18.49, which is a pretty good price for them. They're very, very nice earphones. They've got this kind of material for the cord. They're made out of wood, recycled materials, so they're very good for the environment as well if you're into that. And so they're very, very cheap. They're also quite small. They're very small, so they're discreet. So if you don't want a gigantic set of headphones going around you, if you're kind of traveling on a bus or whatever, you don't want to look kind of funny with a huge set of headphones on. These are very discreet earphones, very small and discreet. They're also very portable. You know, very, very good for travel. And then the cons, a lot of these, I find that, especially the House of Marley ones, they're not too comfortable. And the reason why is because they go right into my ear. Now, for a normal person, that would be fine. That would be actually very comfortable. But I have quite sore ears, I could say. So, you know, it's very hard for me to wear earphones. I'm just most of the time wear headphones because of the type of ears that I have. I can't really wear earphones and be comfortable. So I find that, and most of the time they're less comfortable than headphones because they're going right into your ear. There's also been studies of hearing loss. There's been research on hearing loss using earbuds. And that's because a lot of the time these earbuds, earphones don't really block out a lot of that background noise. So you have to turn up the volume on, let's say you're listening to music, you have to turn up the volume on your earphones to still be able to hear the music because you're picking up all that background noise. But that volume is still really, really loud. So that's actually damaging your ears. Whereas with most headphones, they do a little bit more isolation. So they tend to be better for your ears. So that's another downside to using earphones. And also, because they're cheap and because they have smaller speakers, these are really, really small. So they can only fit small speakers inside in these. Because they have smaller speakers, the sound doesn't tends to be kind of worse. Not, it doesn't tend to be very, very high quality. So, because of the smaller speakers, of course. So, then you could look into on-the-ear headphones. So, on-the-ear headphones, they are not like earphones. They don't go into your ear, but they actually rest on your ear. I don't use any on-the-ear headphones, although I do have a set of on-the-ear headphones here. I haven't used this set of on-the-ear headphones in a very, very long time. Let me see if I can get these. They're tangled up here. Oh no, they're tangled up in a huge cable. So I haven't really used on-the-ear headphones in a very, very long time. I got these Philips on-the-ear headphones when I was going abroad in an airport. I'd say maybe four or five years ago anyway. And so they literally, let me put these on. They actually just rest on your ear. Now, I find them quite comfortable. However, over long periods of time, they tend to kind of fatigue your ears a little bit because they're resting on top of your ears. I suppose you have to kind of position them a little bit. You have to position them a little bit to get more comfortable, or move them around after long periods of time. But what I find to be the most uncomfortable about these types of headphones is that the top band is just a piece of plastic. So, and a lot of these headphones, the top band is just a piece of plastic. So it really is not very comfortable on the top of your head. And your head does get quite sore after a while. But apart from that, you know, they're really nice. Pros and cons to using on-the-ear headphones. The pros are they're very cheap. They tend to have smaller speakers, so they can keep the price down. They tend to be maybe 20 to 40 euro for a set of on-the-ear headphones. They're also quite portable. You know, they're quite low profile. You could use these on the bus. You could use these on your commute into work or school or wherever. They're very, very low profile. They're not as low profile, obviously, as using earphones, but they're a little bit more comfortable. However, they don't do any isolation either. So you will be picking up a lot of you will be picking up a lot of the background noise, so you might have to turn up the volume a lot more. That's a con. The comfort of them, because they're resting on your ear, they can cause a little bit of fatigue to your ears and also to the top of your head with the band. And they're not the best sound quality either. They don't have the best sound quality. Because of the speakers are, again, small. Now, they're going to provide, most of the time, they're going to provide better sound quality than using earphones because they have slightly bigger speakers. But the speakers, the drivers in these tend to be smaller. They tend to be a little bit smaller. So the sound quality isn't going to be the best in them. And then you've got around the ear headphones. Now, around the ear headphones are headphones that I've been using for quite a while now. I'd say since 2011, I started using around the ear headphones. No, maybe, well, yeah, probably the end of 2011, I started using on around the ear headphones. Basically, around the ear headphones, they have a cup on them, and it fits around your ear. And fits around your ear, so that's what I'm using right now. So the pros to using around the ear headphones, they are by far the best sounding headphones you can get. They a lot of the time around the ear headphones won't give you the same kind of sound quality that monitors will give you, because monitors have huge speakers in them. But they will, like, for the money, they are very, very close to monitors. So it's much more cost effective for you to go out and buy around the ear headphones. They also generally have a very good frequency response. They are extremely comfortable. They are the most comfortable type of headphones you can get. Obviously, it depends what type of around the ear headphones you get. Personally, I'll talk about the around the ear headphones I use, but the around the ear headphones that I use are super comfortable. They're the most comfortable pair of headphones I've ever worn. And then the cons, they're generally very expensive. They're very, very expensive headphones. They also, some of them need, depending on what around the ear headphones you get, some of them need a higher output to drive them. You need to turn up the volume a lot more, and that's because they have bigger speakers, and it takes a lot more for them to, or it takes a lot more volume to drive them. And they're not very portable. They're big and clunky most of the time, so they're not very low profile. You wouldn't be able to use them on your daily commute. They're very large. So, there are two types of around-the-ear headphones. You've got open-back around-the-ear headphones, and you got closed-back. So, open-back around-the-ear headphones, they're slightly open. So, they don't create a full seal around your ears. And that allows sound to leak out, yes. So if you were monitoring your podcast, you could get a little bit of feedback from the sound leaking out of open back headphones. But what that also does is it lets the sound kind of, they call it breathe, basically, where it instead of the sound being shoved into your ears, it kind of goes around. So it gives you more of a sensation of the sound coming from multiple positions rather than just the left or just the right. They also, because they're open, that lets the bass kind of escape a little bit as well, so you don't have, it's a lot more accurate sounding. Open back headphones tend to be kind of more accurate sounding, much better for mixing post-production than closed back headphones. The bass response tends to be much more natural with open back headphones. Examples of open back headphones, AKG. AKG are probably the most popular headphones for in the music world for doing mixing. They're not as popular in podcasting. For podcasting, closed back headphones are a little bit more popular. But a number of podcasters use AKG K240s. They are probably one of the most famous set of headphones that you can get there. They're very, very widely regarded as a very, very good, very accurate set of headphones. The AKG K240 Studios, you can get them for about 95 to 100 euro on Thomann. So they're, if you're just looking to get a cheap set of headphones, that could be very, very expensive. But I have been looking into open back headphones, and I came across a fantastic deal, the Superlux HD 681 Evos. Now, these just came out, a month ago, April 2013. Yeah. And they're being sold on Thomann. Superlux, if you don't know, they're a Taiwan company. And for a long time, they've made very, very high quality headphones. But the best thing about Superlux is that their headphones are very, very reasonably priced. Very reasonably priced. They've had headphones out for quite a while on the market now, for years, and they are very well priced. I was looking at the reviews of these headphones. They said, people were saying that you could easily compare these headphones to headphones that are twice the price of them, three times the price, even four times the price of them, and they would beat them, or they would be just as good as them. So these Evos have just come out. The HD 681 Evos have just come out on the market now, and they are supposed to be very, very good headphones. And the best thing about them is the price of them is only 28 euro. 28 euro on Thomann. That's all it costs. 28 euro, you get a really, really nice set of high quality headphones. And the amazing thing about this is it's all, the cable is gold plated. It comes with a quarter inch adapter. So if you want to plug it into your mixer or plug it into a headphone app, you can easily do that. It screws on to make sure that the connection won't sever. It comes with two cables. It comes with a 1.5 meter cable or a 1 meter cable and a 2.5 meter cable. And you can switch the cables. It's on the headphones itself. It's got a 3.5 mil connector, so you can plug in any extension cable you want, which is really, really nice. And the headphones themselves look really, really nice. They are open back, of course. People have been saying, though, that they don't really leak that much sound, which is very, very good. So you could use these, and that's what I'm planning on doing. I am going to try them out and buy a pair, and I will get back to you and give my review on how they sound. But people have been saying that, you know, they don't really leak much sound, so I could use them while I'm doing a podcast. But really what I want to try them out for is the post-production afterwards, after the show. They really do look really, really nice. I was looking at some of the older Superlux headphones out there as well, and they're very good, but people have been saying that these new Evos are a huge improvement from the old ones. You can get the old ones, they're about 19-20 euros, so I mean 28 euro isn't a big difference in the price. And then you've got closed back headphones, which I talked about. Closed back around the ear headphones are like the headphones that I'm using right now. They make a complete seal around your head, which means that very little of the sound is actually leaks. They are extremely comfortable most of the time. They are probably the most comfortable around the ear headphones you can get as well most of the time. And they provide a very, very good sound if you want to monitor yourself while you're recording live. And they do have a little bit more bass response. They're not as natural because the sound is going right into your ears. It's not able to kind of go around your head, but they are very, very good. The headphones that I'm using right now are the Bose AE2 headphones. I've been using these headphones for maybe, I want to say a year and a half now, and I bought them for 150 euro. They are, I'm really, really happy with these headphones. They are definitely the most comfortable headphones I've ever worn in my life. I went into the Bose shop and I tried them on. I was super impressed by the comfort. They've got memory foam cups, you know, kind of padding on the headphone cup. They've also got memory foam up on the top, so they are, you know, on the headband, so they are extremely comfortable. They're also very low profile. The band on them is very low profile. It's got these two cups that kind of surround your ears. Very low profile. And also, there's very little cable noise. With a lot of these, especially the earbuds or earphones, you get a lot of cable noise. With this, very, very little cable noise. It's very, very good. They are quite expensive, though. They're about £120 sterling. For the price, you could definitely get headphones that sound better. But you cannot, I'm pretty sure that you cannot get headphones that are as comfortable as the AE2s for the price. If comfort is very important to you, then these are the headphones for you. The sound, by the way, is definitely not bad. The sound is definitely very, very good. Very nice sounding. There's no stupid overpowering bass like some headphones out there will remain nameless. There's no overpowering bass in them. Treble, mids are all in check. It all sounds very, very nice. They are, like, they're not the most detailed headphones, though. You know, they're designed to sound good for most audio. They're not designed for as reference monitors or reference headphones. They're not designed as that. They're designed for music to sound great or anything that you might be listening to sound great, which isn't really ideal for podcasting because you want to make sure that your podcast's sound will sound great no matter what your people are listening to it on, like car speakers or anything like that. Another set of closed back headphones that have been that are very popular. They're probably the most popular headphones in the podcast industry is the Sony MDR 7506 headphones. A lot of people have been saying they're an absolute incredible set of headphones. They are about €120. So they are quite expensive again, but they're very low profile, just like the Bose AA2s. They fold up. Now, I haven't actually tried these out, but they're supposed to sound extremely neutral and extremely detailed. So, and they're also supposed to be very high quality. Of course, everything is gold plated on them. But the one thing is, I don't think you can actually replace the cable or detach the cable, can you? On these, let me just check here. I think you can actually, now that I think of it. Yeah, I believe you can actually detach the cable from them as well. Sony do very, very nice studio grade, you know, reference grade monitors and headphones. So they are very, very good headphones to check out. Now, I'm going to move on to the last type of headphones that I'm going to be talking about, which is active noise cancelling headphones. Now, closed back headphones are normally regarded as passive noise cancelling headphones, and that's because they create a seal around your ears that blocks out a lot of that background noise. Like, if I was to turn off my microphone now and just keep my headphones on, I would my voice would be muffled to me. It creates a very nice seal, blocks out a lot of that background noise. However, there are active noise-cancelling headphones. So, now a lot of people will probably explain, or you probably know what active noise-cancelling headphones are. They're just, they just cancel out the noise, they have a they take a battery, they have this active stuff that goes on, blocks out all the noise, it's amazing. Uses microphones or something. Well, I'm actually going to explain exactly how active noise cancelling headphones work and how noise cancelling actually works. So on the outside, on the cup of active noise cancelling headphones, by the way, Bose do probably the most popular set of active noise cancelling headphones, the Quiet Comfort 15s. They're very similar to the AE2s, except they, you know, they're over the ear and all that, except they obviously have active noise cancelling built into them. They have a little microphone on each of the headphone cups, and that then what happens is those microphones pick up the sound, they pick up that background noise around you, the sound that's around you, and the microphone then produces a waveform. If you've ever seen audio, of course you have because you're doing a podcast, you've seen the audio, you obviously know that a waveform, that audio is in the form of a waveform. So it goes up, and the waveform goes up and it goes down, and that's what the sound is. That's basically what comes out of the, or what is produced by the microphone. Then what you do to kind of cancel out that sound is you invert the waveform. So you're basically turning it upside down. And that completely cancels. It's the opposite of the waveform that the microphone is capturing. And then what happens is the headphones, they invert the sound that's coming in, and they send it in with the music that's being played or whatever sound is being played through the headphones. They send that into the headphones as well. And it creates a... It cancels that sound because it's the inverted version of what the microphone is capturing. I'm going to actually show or explain at least. I'm going to try and explain an example of active noise cancelling. So right here, I'm looking on my computer right now and I can see I have Audacity open. Audacity is I've talked about it many times in the show. It's an audio editing and recording software. And I've got two audio clips here. I've got a multi-track open up here, and it's got two audio clips. One is called Airplane Noise, and then the other one is called Airplane Noise 2. They're both identical clips, identical audio clips. I can see the waveform of them here. I'm just going to play a little bit of the Airplane Noise. Just going to play a little bit of the airplane noise audio file here. Let me see here. I muted the audio. There you go. Okay, so it's basically airplane noise. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to invert one of the waveforms of one of these clips. Okay, so Audacity is a very nice effect. It's the invert effect, and it'll automatically invert the file. I'm going to invert the waveform on the bottom here. I'm going to go to effect. I'm going to say invert. And that's actually flipped that audio file around. So what was on the bottom is now on the top, and what was on the top is now on the bottom in terms of on the waveform. So when I play this back, what should happen, because I'm playing both audio clips simultaneously, is that one will be playing, but I'll be playing the normal and the inverted airplane noise files together, and that the inverted audio or the inverted airplane noise file will cancel out the normal airplane noise file. So let's try it. There you go. Absolutely nothing coming out of it. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and I'm going to invert it again. And there you go. So that's an example. Now, it doesn't work that well. And that's because in a program like Audacity, it works brilliantly because the microphone is capturing everything perfectly. It's not in real time. This is a pre-recorded audio file. It's not inverting that on the fly. If it's inverting it on the fly, you get it's a much more complicated algorithm, and you get kind of you can't cancel out everything. Now, I took airplane noise as an example of an audio file because you'd usually use noise cancelling headphones, or active noise cancelling headphones are probably the most effective on an airplane. That's because the noise of the airplane, let me see if I can play this back. The noise of this airplane is very, very consistent. You can see the pattern of the airplane's engines because they're making the same kind of white noise. And so that's active noise cancelling headphones worked really well for that. But if there was a noise that was inconsistent, that kept on changing, like a human's voice, the noise cancellation wouldn't work so well. So that's why active noise cancellation headphones, they block out all of that background noise that's kind of a consistent noise, like airplane noise. But if someone talks, you can hear them. And that's because, you know, the active noise cancellation can't cancel out audio that is not very consistent. But that's basically how active noise cancellation works. If you want to try it out, you can just download Audacity. It's free. I'm sure you use it if you have an audio podcast. Download Audacity and just go create two copies of the same audio file, and then invert one by going to effect, and then the invert effect, and it'll just flip the waveform for you. You could also do this with speakers. Take two speakers and face them towards each other and keep moving the speakers closer and closer together. At one point, they will go out of phase, so they will phase out each other, and you won't be hearing any noise. So if you're playing an audio, clip through those two speakers, at one point, they would go out of phase with each other and the noise would be canceled out completely. So it's really, really cool technology. It's really, really cool messing around with that stuff and how that works. So I find that very, very interesting. By the way, Adobe Audition, if you use Adobe Audition, it has an invert effect as well, just the same way that Audacity does. I just used Audacity in this case because I don't have Adobe Audition on my laptop. And now I want to talk about headphone amps. So if you have headphones, if you have a mixer and you have multiple guests, if you have multiple guests in studio with you, you want to make sure that all of your guests are able to monitor the audio that's coming out on your podcast as well. And that's because your guests will be able to hear, they'll be able to make sure that they're staying on microphone, because if you're not monitoring your audio, you don't know, you could be going all over the place, you could be moving away from the microphone, and so you get a very inconsistent sound. But if your co-hosts or guests are also monitoring their audio, they can hear that when they go off microphone, or when they go off access, that the microphone goes muffled. So they know not to do that. And also if they hit the microphone stand, it makes a noise and they know not to do that. So it's very important that your in-studio guests or co-hosts also can monitor the mix that's coming out. So if you're using a mixer to do all your mixing, you can buy a separate headphone amp. And what that will do is that will take you can plug it into the headphone output on your mixer, and it will split that sound into, like, for example, my headphone amp has four channels on it, so four people can plug into that headphone amp. They have individual volume controls. So let's say one of my guests was using the Apple EarPods, another one of my guests was using the Bose AE2s. The Bose AE2s have much larger speakers, so it will take a lot more. I have to crank the volume on my Bose AE2s a lot more to get a decent volume out of them. Whereas with the EarPods, they take very little volume at all to get a very small amount of output to get a decent volume out of them. So this allows you to each guest to manually control the level of their volume output, which is really, really nice. You could also, you could use a splitter, so a headphone splitter, so you take the signal and you split the signal into two or into four or into six different outputs, inputs for headphones. But the problem with that is that every time, let's say you split it into six separate, you split the signal to six separate inputs for headphones. Every time someone else, let's say have two people plugged into the splitter, it will be at one volume. But as more and more people plug into that splitter, the volume level gets lower because the mixer is splitting that audio between more and more headphones. So then you have to crank the volume, and let's say everybody's using a different set of headphones, or their hearing is much better than yours, or not as good as yours. You only have one universal audio control, so it's not as good. So I think using headphone amps will be very good for that. Also, a headphone amp will amplify an audio signal. So if you have a really high quality set of headphones, but they have huge speakers in them, and you need a lot of audio output to drive them, then let's say you're using your iPhone that doesn't have a very good preamp in them for headphones, those headphones probably wouldn't work, or the audio level would be very low on them. You could use a headphone amp, plug the iPhone into the headphone amp, and then plug your headphones into that headphone amp, and you could amplify that sound even more. So you could drive your headphones a lot better, and you'll probably get higher quality sound as well. So that's what I found with using a headphone amp. Now, in terms of headphone amps that I would recommend, I would probably recommend the Behringer HA4700 PowerPlay Pro XL. This is a four-channel headphone amp. It's a rack-mountable headphone amp. So it's a 9-inch rack. It's a 1U. It's a 1U unit, so it's nice and small little unit. And it allows each guest to be able to manually control all of their audio levels. And it's a very, very nice, high quality headphone amp. The other one that I would recommend, which is a lot cheaper, by the way, the HA700 is €95. The Behringer HA400 is the headphone amp that I have, and it's a mini headphone amp. It's about the size of an iPhone, and it's got four headphone inputs, and you can every guest can manually control their audio, and it's €18.90, which is really nice. Now, it doesn't have a power switch, so if you want to power it off, you have to plug it out. But for €18.90, it's an amazing deal, and it allows for all of your guests or in studio co-hosts to monitor themselves as well. So I think that's a very, very, very nice option. Now, all of these have quarter-inch outputs, so you're going to have to, if your headphones have 3.5 mil connections, you're going to have to buy something like, let's see if I have one. Yes. One of these 3.5 mil to quarter inch adapters. I've got a load of them. So that's probably what you're going to need to convert those quarter inches over to 3.5 mil. Okay, so that's headphone amps. Now I want to talk about using another way of monitoring audio. And that's through a meter. I think that meters are very, very important to monitor your audio. And that's because your ears, the audio might sound fine and level. Your co-host's audio might sound nice and level with your audio to you, but it mightn't actually, because you're hearing your co-host's levels could be too low or could be too high, depending on, because when you're talking, your voice is being kind of vibrated against your jaw bones and bones in your head, so your voice is going to be very loud in comparison to your co-host's. So your co-host's, you might have to crank up your co-host's volume to hear them, and to hear them at a level volume. But on the mix, your co-host's level could be much, much higher than your own. So you want to also use meters. Now, over on my mixer, I've got a really nice large meter. It's a VU meter, and it tells me the decibel, how loud basically the audio that's being sent into the mix is. And so I kind of aim on my mixer for every audio device to be hitting maybe -4 to 0 dB. That's what I try to hit there. And because my VU meter on my mixer is so accurate, I can very easily see if I play like the intro music to the song. Let me see here. Okay, I can hear that that's too loud or too quiet. I need to bring it up. That's about right there. So I can tell from the VU meter how much louder or how much quieter the audio source needs to be, which is really, really nice. Now, if you have a cheaper mixer, your VU meter that's built into the mixer probably is something like 6 or 8 LEDs that basically don't tell you very much, like an old mixer that I have. So you might want to buy yourself a nice VU meter that you can buy. They're usually not very expensive. You can just plug them right into the main mix output coming from your mixer, and you get a really nice display telling you what kind of volume levels you've got coming out of your mixer. Also, if you have an audio recorder, it's very easy for you to monitor the audio levels coming into your audio recorder, and that'll give you kind of an idea of, a very accurate idea of the audio levels as well. And the meter, of course, on an audio recorder is digital, but it's very, very accurate a lot of the time, and is a very good way also of monitoring your audio. levels for all of your devices. So it's very important that I think you combine using speakers or headphones so that you can hear yourself what it sounds like, and also use a combination of the headphones, of course, and the VU meters to tell you what your volume levels are and how level everything is. I think that's probably the best thing that you can do. You know what? I've got a little bit of time left over, so I might as well talk a little bit about video monitoring. I think it's extremely important when you're monitoring video that you monitor it on, let's say, a video podcast, that you have a monitor in front of you, or, you know, pretty much in front of you. This is the monitor that I'm monitoring my video is just a little bit to the right of me, so that it's in front of you so that you can actually monitor what shot you're on. So let's say I went to a co-host shot and I needed to go back to my shot, but I forgot, you know, I couldn't see the video output. I wouldn't have noticed that I should have switched shot there. So I think it's very important to make sure, that's pretty self-explanatory, that you make sure that you have, that you're monitoring the audio or the video output. Now, in terms of what you monitor it on, just make sure that the display that you're using is color, the color balance is set correctly, that whites look white, blacks look black, blues look blue, reds look red, etc. Just make sure that the color correction on that monitor is good. And that's pretty much really what it's, I mean, that's pretty much it for video monitoring. Now, depending on what you're using for monitoring your video podcast, you know, you really should also, if you have co-hosts or guests on the show, you should also make sure that they have a monitor, or that at least everybody's looking into the same monitor. In my case, I have a monitor that's facing my direction, but if a co-host was in the studio or a guest was in the studio, they wouldn't be able to see this monitor. I have another monitor that I can plug into my computer and put a full screen output on that so that the guests in the studio can see what's going on in the video as well. Because I know, having being a guest on a show before, that if you can't monitor the video that's coming back, you don't know if your video shot is on air or not. And that's a big thing. And also, you don't know what's going on. It's a little bit disorientating, I think. And then for Skype guests as well, if you have guests over Skype, I think it's very important that you send a video back to your guests so that they know who they're talking to, kind of. If they're just kind of talking to audio, they can't really get a feel for who they're really talking to. So if you have enough bandwidth, that's what you should do. I don't have enough bandwidth, but I do. I do a live stream, so that basically what I can do is I can the guests on Skype can just tune into the live stream. Now, it is delayed by maybe 10-20 seconds, but they can basically very easily just tune into the live stream, and they can just tune into that live stream and watch the video like that. But apart from that, that's pretty much it in terms of video monitoring. There isn't really too much else you can do with video monitoring as such. But that's pretty much it for today's show. If you're wondering why I've been kind of on and off with the podcast in recent weeks and even recent months, please stay back. You can stay back after the show, after the music has rolled, and I will explain myself. But you can follow me on Twitter. Michael McAndrew is my name, and you can follow me on Twitter at TalksAboutTech1. You can also send in your emails. I actually better start getting my outro music rolling, because I'm I'm about to finish up the show. Do you like my new music? I got new music for Inside the Studio as well as Talks About Tech Weekly. But you can send me an email. Michael@talksabouttech.com is my email address. If you have any questions about podcasting, please do feel free to send them in, and I will try to answer them the best way that I can. You can follow me on Google Plus. Michael McAndrew is my name there. You know, I'm actually getting to kind of to like Google Plus a lot more now, and especially the Google Hangouts feature is very, very nice. I want to thank you all very much for watching or listening to this episode of Inside the Studio. I'll see you next week. Okay, so if you've stayed back for the end of this episode, if you wanted to find out why I have been away for you know, kind of on and off doing my podcast for a while, it's because I'm a little bit sick. I have an ear condition. It's, well, I don't quite know what it is, but I do have an ear condition called otitis externa. Basically what it is it's like eczema or dry skin inside in my left ear. And it's been causing me a lot of pain because I have nerves that run into my ear canal, and they run very close to my ear canal. Basically what happens is the inside of my ear canal swells up and hits off those nerves and gives me great nerve pain. I have been missing quite a lot of school with this, and I am currently in a lot of pain. But I can still, you know, I can still, for the most part, you know, do an hour's podcast. Podcasting really has been helping me so much to cope with that, the pain that I've been going through. And because it's a distraction, I find it very hard to concentrate on things and doing show notes. And that's why I've been missing a lot of these episodes. But when I can get to podcast, it really does help me. So, you know, I'm getting better. I'm taking medication for it, and so I am getting better, and hopefully I will be better in a few weeks or maybe a month or two. Hopefully I'll be better. But that's why I've been kind of on and off. You know, I have good days and I have bad days. Some days my ear is very painful, and in other days it's not so bad. So I've been kind of missing a lot of episodes and a lot of weeks on and off. So if you just wanted to know what was going on, I just thought that anybody who wanted to know what was going on, I'd let them know at the end of this episode. So I want to thank you all again very much for tuning into this episode of Inside the Studio.